House Revenue Committee, welcome everybody for a bright and beautiful Monday. And we're going to start at the bottom of the agenda. I think we've got a, I'm hoping, a pretty straightforward bill to work first. So I'll begin and open a work session on House Bill 2554. And we are in work session, but Representative Butler is here. I would be pleased to hear from him, Representative Butler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. There is a dash one amendment which Legislative Revenue Office is having run off right now. I can tell you the effect of that. It's provided to us on behalf of the Department of Revenue. Department of Revenue, on the present bill, 2554, House Bill 2554, lines 18, 19, and 20, presently indicates taxpayer shall elect by filing a form of the Department of Revenue. On the form, the taxpayer shall state the amount of farm income to be considered elected farm income. The Department of Revenue's effective amendment, the dash one amendment, would state as follows once the amendment is modified and included. The taxpayer, and as I say, you'll have a copy of that in your hand very shortly, the taxpayer shall make the election in the manner provided by the Department of Revenue. In making the election, the taxpayer shall determine the amount of farm income that is to be considered elected farm income. The Department of Revenue felt like that this was a an approach that they could certainly work through, that they would just, as opposed to prescribing a form, they would provide prescribe a manner in which it would be done as opposed to a singular form. And then relative to the implementation, under paragraph 6 at the very bottom, it says the department shall, and then going over to page 2, line 1, prescribe the form on, it would be the manner in which an election under this election shall be made. And those are the effects of the amendments, the dash one amendments, which right now your staff does have, and copies will be handed out very shortly. I beg your pardon.
So we don't have copies yet of the dash one amendment?
It's yeah. On its way.
Okay. Deborah, do you want to come up and speak to these, or are you familiar with these amendments? It sounds, and Tom, I guess I will confirm for the record that you're satisfied with these. It's just furthering the intent of the bill in the first place.
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. Thank you very kindly.
Deborah? Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. We appreciate Representative Butler proposing the amendment. We think this will just give us an added flexibility in not necessarily requiring a form with the filing of the return. If we can find a way to get it on the form itself, then they would not have to provide additional information.
Okay. Thank you. Here come the dash one amendments. This is the on-time delivery, isn't that the economic, just-in-time delivery? That's right, the model that we're using here.
We want to know how to break down our capital equipment.
Oh, copiers. your copier is broken?
Yeah.
Call Representative Wick.
You don't want me working on a copier.
Oh, you're not like Dr. Banks.
And then that stuff, you know, pro bono.
Okay, committee, we have the dash one amendments. Ed, do you want to say anything more about them? Representative Butler explained them to us, and the department gave their benediction. Do you want to say anything more about it?
I should probably read them first.
Okay, well, is anybody else here in the room wishing to testify about the dash one amendments?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wynn.
I would move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2554.
Okay. Quick, before staff reads them.
They're not that long, Mr.
No, they're not that long. They seem pretty straightforward. Representative Witt moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2554. Is there any objection? No discussion? No objection? Okay, they are in the bill. Ed, do you have any comments before we go on to the next motion? They look okay. All right, Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2554 to the floor with a as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2554 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Bay.
Aye.
Pat?
Aye.
Brown?
Excuse me.
House?
Aye.
Williams?
Excuse?
Whit?
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlton?
Excuse?
Savory?
Same.
Chair Chatterley?
Aye. House Bill 2554, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass. And Representative Butler is sponsor of this, and having shepherded this thing through the committee, I'd be happy to have you carry that for us. All right, that will take care of House Bill 2554. Close the work session on that, and let's get into historic priorities. Okay, open, we've got some public testimony. I'll make this a public hearing for right now, a public hearing on House Bill 2270.
I agree. But this closes it down, right? Stops the meeting.
Come on up, Elizabeth. Let's kind of recap where we were at the end of our last work session on this. Committee, we have a new cheat sheet that tells us all the amendments and where they come from and what they do. My notes indicate that we moved the dash one amendments into the bill, that's already in. Same with the dash two. That the dash four amendments were withdrawn in favor of the dash eights. That the dash five amendment has been withdrawn from this committee's consideration. I believe the same is with the dash seven withdrawn from consideration by this committee. We will have Mr. DiLorenzo back up on the dash eights. Dash nine, Representative Beck. Dash 10 is Mr. Higbee's amendment, yeah. Dash 11 modifies the dash 8. So we'll have to talk about that when Mr. DiLorenzo is up to talk about the dash 8s. Dash 12 also modifies dash 8, I think, as I read that.
No.
It doesn't? No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. 11 and 12.
11 and 12
yep.
Modify 8. Mm-hmm. Dash 13 goes with 10. And dash 14 is something new and different. And then we also have a dash 6 from the clerk.
Did we have it with amendment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chairman.
You want to move the bill?
You didn't mention the dash threes, I don't think, did you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually voted on the bill?
Those...
This bill.
Okay.
You moved.
I think the dash three, I think those have been withdrawn from consideration by this bill, too, as I recall. I will... I think so, yeah. If anybody out there... We'll go through these one at a time. So if I've misspoken on any of these, I'll give proponents a chance to get up and testify on these. In fact, that's what I will do. We'll take these one amendment at a time. And I tell you what, just so we can move in and out of these, so let me go ahead and move into work session. We'll still take public testimony. But let's go into work session that way then. We can deal with these one at a time if the committee is so inclined as we get a simple one. Let me confirm. I have the dash three amendments, and my understanding was that those were not going to be advanced today. Is that right? Is anybody here wanting to disagree with that and come up and speak to them? Okay. Same with the dash four. Dash six. Who is here on the dash six amendments? Charles, there you are. Why don't you come on up and tell us why we should love the dash six. I don't even see a... You want to tell us about those, Lucas?
Chairman Shetterly, committee members, I did not do a revenue impact to the dash six. It's pretty much a clerical change. It's just clarifying that the notice of the claim of lien shall be recorded in the county clerk's lien records, not a bill.
Okay. Charles?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I chair the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee. The amendment I think, is pretty straightforward. As the bill's drafted, it would provide that the clerks would have a book kept for the purpose of recording these liens. As most counties now maintain this electronically, there is a record already established in statute called the County Clerk Lien Record. And we'd like to keep them there rather than in some book for that purpose. And so that's why this amendment is proposed, that we not start to go out and buy books now when we're moving into the electronic world. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Charles? No?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Williams?
I move the Dash 6 amendment to House Bill 2270.
Representative Williams moves the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2270. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Any of those are in?
I did my part.
Yes. Okay, those of you who are proposing other amendments, I hope you'll take note of the... that's right, of the expeditious manner in which these were presented to us. Okay. Well, that takes us then to the Dash 4 again, as I understand, withdrawn. We are up to Dash 5s, I think, are withdrawn. Dash 7s withdrawn. Again, if anybody is going to disagree with me, let me know. Mr. Staley, you're here. Did you want to speak on the Dash 7s?
No, I agree with
you. Okay, thank you. Yes, sir, I want to keep my...
What happened to one disagrees?
Get my amendments in order here so I don't lose track. Okay. I think that takes us up to the Dash 8 amendments. John DiLorenzo. And while you're at it, let's talk about the, John, if you would address your comments also to the 11 and 12s.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John DiLorenzo, and I was the proponent of the Dash 8 amendments. Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed the Dash 8s, the Dash 11s, and the Dash 12s. I will support any of them. I have preference, though, obviously. The Dash 8s were designed, again, to... in essence, grandfather any property that either was within its first 15-year period or in its first 15-year reapplication period from the step-up provisions and other provisions of the Act. And its approach is to say that these provisions in the new Act only apply to applications or reapplications filed on or after the effective date of the new Act. There is an alternative to that, the Dash 11s, which I think were requested by the chair. Those do exactly the same thing, only they set July 1, 2001 as the line of demarcation for when this act applies versus the old rules. There is then the Dash 12s, which take a different approach. What the Dash 12s do, and you may want Mr. Johnson to address these further, but my read of the Dash 12s is that they first of all provide generally the amendments to tax years beginning on or after July 1, 2002, and I am speculating that that may just be because there may be more to the bill here when it's done than just the step-up provisions. There may be standards, things like that. And so... it applies generally the provisions of the bill to tax years beginning on or after July 1, 2002. It then says, notwithstanding any of that, the provisions do not apply to the special Section 33 properties, and I think there's 7 or 8 of those, which were the transition rule properties that were dealt with last session of the legislature. And then it also says, and notwithstanding all of that, nothing requires a change in the specially assessed valuations of historic properties that have been classified and assessed as historic pursuant to applications or reapplications that were filed prior to July 1, 2002. So I guess the Dash 12s take a little different approach. They basically have a broad statement, and then they have exemptions They essentially do what the dash 8s and the 11s do. The only difference is I think the dash 12s will apply whatever standards and other types of provisions that don't have anything to do with stepped-up basis. It'll apply those standards to all properties, it looks to me like, after July 1, 2002. But Mr. Johnson may have some further comments about that. I would support any of them.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you stay there? Anybody else want to be heard, just so I know what's coming? Anybody else want to be heard out here on either the 8s, 11s, or 12s? After Dexter. Okay. Dexter, come on up.
Well, I think I asked the 12s as a, I think my goal, Dexter can refresh me on our conversation, but was to try to acknowledge that the there were this group of transitional buildings, the five buildings Mr. DiLorenzo is representing all of them, but a couple of those buildings. My goal was to make sure that whatever we do just applied to buildings that qualified under the 1999 legislation. So there was some discussion at the last hearing that the dash 8 would actually affect another set of buildings, another 60, possibly 60 buildings around the state. I was trying to narrow the bill so it just applies to buildings that were in that transitional zone. Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, my understanding is that what you were interested in doing was having the 2270 not affect the buildings that were subject to Section 33,
right.
And number one, and number two, not affect the specially assessed value of buildings that were subject to historic assessment due to an application filed prior to a particular date, and in this draft, that date is July 1, 2002.
Mark, so, why don't you come on up, since this is the three of you are going to be the ones talking.
English, yeah.
There was some incipient response back there.
I'm Marge Kafoury, representing the City of Portland. Of the three amendments that are before you, we support the dash 11s. The 11 has the July 1, 2001 effective date. This is consistent with what we talked about at the committee the last time this bill was heard. We expressed some concerns that the window of opportunity would be open a long time for a number of these properties that might otherwise be eligible to reapply and gain the second 15-year under the old no roll-up provision, and that's the provision that we wanted to narrow, and we believe the 2001 date, July 1 in the dash 11s, does that effectively. So
in my thinking in proposing the July 1 date in the dash 11s was that I think we were persuaded by Mr. DiLorenzo's argument about reliance, and not so sure that by extending a date that we're creating some reliance here, more an opportunity than reliance on people that have relied on the law. And Chris John's point about the trap for the unwary that this will be a change in law that won't be printed in the ORS, I guess that's why lawyers need to subscribe to the advance sheets and watch the web. And I would expect that property owners that would be looking at taking advantage or potentially about this are going to be your more sophisticated property owners anyway, and more likely to be ones paying attention to developments. I would expect that. Representative.
Also, Mr. Chairman, the Oregonian is here.
So could we have this above the fold? We'll make that the dash 15. Representative Carlson.
Could I ask Ms. Kafoury, the dash 12 compared to the dash 11, what's your stance on those?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, as I understand Mr. Johnson's explanation of the dash 12, the effective date here is set at July 1, 2002, which is an additional year,
I'm sorry, I'm talking to myself here.
Which would in effect extend the date that you see in the dash 11th for another year, and that's my interpretation of at least two-thirds of what that amendment would do.
The 2002 date can certainly be changed to 2001 if that is the desire. What I think is significant about the dash 12 versus the others is as Mr. DiLorenzo pointed out, that the changes that are going on in the bill that don't relate to the specially assessed value will be applicable to property that's currently in the program. Specifically, this is the rules that deal with how maximum assessed value of the property is determined, and other more, I'd say, housekeeping provisions. But that's certainly a significant one. They will be picked up and applied to property that is currently in the program under the dash 12. They will not under either the dash 8 or dash 11.
Let me try that again.
Okay. All property has both any special assessment program has both a specially assessed value and a maximum assessed value, and then the assessed value is the lesser of the two. Under current law in the historic property special assessment program, there is no guidance on what the maximum assessed value of historic property is. There's no clear guidance anyway. And the bill changes that and states what the maximum assessed value for historic property is. That change would not be applied to historic properties that are currently in the program under the dash 8 or dash 11 provision. They would apply under the dash 12.
Representative Williams.
Mr. Johnson, if we were to change the date in the dash 12 amendments to July 1, 2001, would that undo the issue that you just described of that limitation?
No.
Okay. So if all we're concerned about is the extension of the date to July 1, 2002 to make it conform more closer to the chair's amendment of July 1, 2001, but to still address this group of people that you're addressing that don't get picked up by the 8s or the 11s would be to just make the change to July 1, 2001 in the dash 12 amendments.
And then otherwise, they're being treated, we're not creating differentiation in the way these historic properties are being treated. That seems to make sense to me. Representative Witt?
Mr. Chairman, if I can ask this question of whoever feels that they can best answer it. My understanding was, it was in 95, I think, when we went to the second 15-year period opportunity, and that was specifically for seismic upgrades and other rehabilitation on the property, not so much to preserve the historic nature of the property, but to address other issues, is what I thought. If that's true, why do we now look to expand out that second 15-year opportunity, irrespective of the purpose of the investment? In other words, it can be for a lot more than seismic upgrade. It could be used just to put additional investment into the property and you get an extra 15 years. It seems to me there's a conflict there, that we're not following the intent of the 95 legislation.
Mm-hmm. Part of that is what's happened between now and 90, or 95 and now, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, this John DiLorenzo, I think that the standards for the 15-year re-app do not change under this bill. And those, as my understanding is from memory, that those standards are that a second 15-year re-app for these properties will be allowed if the owner can demonstrate significant investment in one of three areas, seismic, energy, or ADA compliance, Americans with Disabilities Act compliance. I don't think the bill changes that, and I believe that basically all we're doing is just talking about which properties we want to grandfather and whether we want to grandfather properties that have made applications or that second class of reapplications up to July 1, 2001, or whether we want to extend that to July 1, 2002, or whether we want that to be the effective date of the Act. And then, of course, the only difference between the 8s and 11s and the 12s are that the 12s then would, in addition to all that, notwithstanding all of that, apply the standards, which have nothing to do with the actual stepped-up values and assessed values. It would apply the standards to everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I read this. Is that right? Pretty much?
Yes, Mr. Johnson, yes.
So to get the second 15-year exemption, or the second 15-year frozen value, you have to have made significant investment for one of those three purposes, any one or more of those three purposes.
Yes.
Is that correct?
You can see that on page 10 of the printed bill, actually, the lines H through 16.
Yeah, Paul.
I think Mr. Hamburg wants to...
Oh, come on up. And I guess my question was, this bill does not change that. I thought we had done something with those reapplication standards either in 97 or 99. We didn't?
Mr. Chairman, March Gafori, I don't recollect that the standards have been changed. The allowance for the second 15-year was added in 1995 for the purposes that Mr. DiLorenzo explained.
Okay. Yes, Eric.
Mr. Chairman, James Hamrick, State Historic Preservation Office. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to add something to, in answer to Representative Witt's question. Reapplications require both a preservation plan and a renovation plan. The renovation plan addresses the ADA seismic and energy issues, but the proponent in a reapplication still has to demonstrate that there is some other rehabilitation need, and so they have to basically, so essentially there's generally two different things that are being addressed in the in those reapplications, not just the ADA seismic and energy issues.
But is that, if I can, Mr. Chairman, has that been consistent, Mr. Hamrick, since the 95 statute went into effect?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, that it has been consistent.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I tell you, I know we're on thin ice, but I would be inclined, a conceptual amendment to change a 2 to a 1 on line 16 and make that read 2001.
And line 5.
I'm sorry, thank you, and line 5 as well. And maybe Ramona is watching some other committee work right now and not hearing us do this. But I'm not inclined to bring this back just to change that date. So the chair would move that the dash 12 amendments be further amended by a conceptual amendment changing the date on line 5, 2002, to 2001, and making the same change on line 16, changing the date 2002 to 2001.
Does that mean they can do it anyway?
Is there any discussion about that conceptual amendment to the dash 12 amendments? Any objection? Okay. Then the chair would move the dash 12 amendments as conceptually amended into House Bill 2270.
There seems to be some trepidation.
Oh, what?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
John DiLorenzo again. No trepidation. It's just kind of a concern at line 13. I was chatting with Mr. Johnson about whether the word requires. Nothing in these sections of this 2001 Act requires a change. My question was, is that a permissive term? In other words, does it mean that the change could occur anyway? We were both wondering whether maybe the word permits would be a better word and would add more clarity to the statute.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Mr. Johnson, change, I don't think it's too much of an issue, but certainly changing it to permits makes that very clear.
Mr. Chairman, what section of the bill are we in?
This is the dash 12 amendments.
Line 13, right, as requires right now, that would be changing to permit.
On the amendment.
Oh, we can find the amendment.
Okay. I might.
Well, okay, Representative Williams moves a conceptual amendment, further conceptual amendment to the dash 12 amendments on line 13. And for that purpose, the chair will withdraw a motion to move the dash 12 amendments as conceptually, so we can deal with this first. So Representative Williams moves the conceptual amendment on line 13 of the dash 12 amendments, deleting the word requires and inserting the word permits. Any discussion on that? And I agree, that's a good catch. Is there any objection to the conceptual amendment? Okay, that's it. Then, once again, before we move this forward, we have these changes on the dash 12 amendments. Line 5, the date now would be July 1, 2001. On line 13, third word from the end would be permits instead of requires. And on line 16, the date again would be July 1, 2001 and not July 1, 2002. With those conceptual amendments, the chair moves House dash 12 amendments to as conceptually amended to House Bill 2270. Is there discussion? Any objection? Okay. That takes care then of the 8s and the 11s.
All right. Mr. Chair, is 8 and 11 then withdrawn?
Yeah. Okay. That renders the 8 and 11 amendments, I guess, just unnecessary. So that takes us back to the dash 9 amendments. Representative Becker, do you want to say anything more about these?
Oh, the 9?
Yeah.
Well, I think there was a chance someone was going to. Has anybody signed up to talk about the 9?
I don't know if anyone's here to talk about the 9. We have some sign ups.
Fiscal analysis. I guess we'll.
We do have a
forward in the Senate. Okay. Discussion.
Okay. All right, let's draw on this.
That's one way to say it.
Then we have the dash 10 amendments, and those are the Higbee amendments, right? Okay, Brad.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Brad Higbee appearing on behalf of Robert Ball, and I'll be sitting next to the tissues in case the allergies kick in. I haven't taken everybody's medication advice just yet, but hopefully that's what the issues are for. Mr. Chair, I can't hear everything in the back of the room, but I do believe with respect to the suggestion about the Oregonian, I heard something mumbled in the back row about by an ad fella. I'm not sure. Exactly, but maybe I didn't hear that correctly, Mr.
Maybe the Tribune will publish.
Mr. Chair, thank you again for coming back. As I mentioned to the committee a week or a half or so ago, on behalf of Mr. Ball, we are interested in and presented conceptually what is before you today as masterfully crafted by Legislative Council in the Dash 10 amendments. Might note, not to get ahead of anything, that Representative Beck has offered a variant on this theme that's fairly similar in the Dash 13s. Just very briefly, Mr. Chair, to help you all recollect, Mr. Ball has purchased a warehouse. It's in year 13. He wishes to withdraw, pay the back taxes essentially, and with this amendment, hopefully not avoid, not bear the additional burden of paying the interest that would accrue. And I note that that's very accurately pointed out in the revenue impact statement to both the Dash 10 and Dash 13 amendments. What's implicit in that is, as I mentioned in the previous testimony, his alternative is to do nothing for 2 years, wait for the entire 15-year period to end, and he'll not owe a nickel. So that's about, I think if I remember the figure, $828,000 of taxes and interest he wouldn't have to pay. So what he's proposing here is to move quickly on dealing with this particular property in close coordination with the City of Portland to make a somewhat dilapidated historical warehouse in much better shape and turn it into a residential project that's got a mix of affordability factors built in for folks, and that's where the City of Portland's interest in investment has come in. He hopes to be able to do that now. He is perfectly willing to pay all the back taxes and was hoping to, as I said, avoid the interest payment. And in addition, we had offered, as you see in lines 12 to 17 of page 1 of the Dash 10 amendments, the two additional conditions to make sure that you've got to be serious to commit to this sort of activity to benefit from what the amendments would do. And specifically, that's reapplying for and getting an approved plan for a special assessment for a 15-year period. And then secondly, that you're committing to spend at least 5 times the benefit you would receive in restoring the property and complying with the plan. Lastly, Mr. Chair, on page 2 of the Dash 10 Amendment, Section 12C, and I might note this is, as I think I understand it, the sole difference between the Dash 10s and the Dash 13s, it's the date. We're very interested in making sure that at the very least the date, the beginning date that's listed on line 10 continues. That's that it would apply to projects of this sort and applications and withdrawals that are done after January 1, 2001. I believe the city of Portland had suggested that they wanted to make sure that there was a window so that this wasn't an unknown universe of potential properties that, that could potentially take advantage of this, and it offered a January 1, 2002 date as the end of the window period. We're officially comfortable with that if the city of Portland is needing that to make themselves comfortable. Representative Beck's amendment, if I could speak for him, in the Dash 13s, would eliminate any reference to the window, whatever, and would suggest that if this is good public policy, if I can put words in your mouth, I believe, then let's make it good public policy available to everybody. We agree that it's good public policy, and I would leave it to, I guess, ultimately, the city of Portland's level of comfort about the end of the window. Our level of comfort, I think, is such that we would really need to see that January 1, 2001 date there. I don't fully understand what the effective date of this bill will ultimately be. I just want to make sure that if Mr. Ball is proceeding ahead with this, that the amendment that would allow him to do that is, in fact, available to him. So, therefore, at the very least, the January 1, 2001 beginning of the applicability window date is very important to us.
You're concerned with that deletion of the reference to January 1, 2001 in the Dash 13 amendments means that this exception is not available until after January 1, 2002 when this bill would become effective?
Potentially, Mr. Chair, that would be my fear, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beck.
Just to reemphasize what Brad has said on the 13th, my goal, I was trying to ensure that what we're doing here is has some broad policy ramifications and isn't just designed to help one particular property owner. I think, you know, sometimes it's unavoidable, but I've been trying to look at this in a way that we can say the policy's good. If we believe it is good policy, then let's do it and let's extend it, you know, to prospectively to other situations that may arise. So I had the 13s drafted to have this policy of letting someone get off their first, just unapply or remove themselves from their first 15-year exemption period or frozen period, and then reapply for a new 15-year period but pay the back taxes. I think that's a good policy if they're going through SHPO to apply for a different type of preservation plan. But I was uncomfortable with doing this in a way that would look clearly to benefit one or two property owners. But I think the way Brad has proposed in the Dash 10s, have putting a period on line 10 of page 2, after 2001, I think that would accomplish what I wanted to accomplish and what he wants to accomplish. But in the Dash 13s, Dexter has some other language here. I think that just has to do with section numbering and so forth. Is that right, Dexter?
Let's see. Dexter, why don't you come on back? And Marge, do you want to be heard on this one, too? Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. The difference between the Dash 10s and the Dash 13s is simply that the Dash 13s are permanent law, so they're an amendment into an existing ORS section versus a standalone section. If that is the choice that the committee wants to make, there'll have to be a little blending with the Dash 12 amendments, which are the general applicability date and references the section that's being amended. So, but that's not a problem. There will have to be an additional applicability provision put in there.
Mr. Chairman, Marge Kefouri, City of Portland. As between the two amendments, Mr. Higbee has described very clearly the differences between the two. We have reflected about this a little bit, and I think that given the fact that the reinvestment requirement is in either one of these bills and would apply to anybody who wanted to take advantage of this particular opportunity, and the reinvestment requirement is substantial here for these new buildings, or at least new opportunities, we are comfortable with not bracketing, if you will, but to have the effective date, but echoing what Mr. Higbee says, we do need the effective date to be January 1 of this year so that Mr. Ball can take, can proceed with his application as he had intended.
Dexter, let me ask, I won't take two, but if we were to put a period on line 10 on page 2, after the date January 1, 2001, does that solve the problem, or do we still have the difficulty in harmonizing the other applicability?
Mr. Chair, that does solve the problem.
It does solve the problem. Oh, boy, you start down this slip recently. Well,
that time of the session, Mr. Chairman.
It isn't, but it feels like it. Yeah, I know.
This is
good practice, I guess.
Could you tell us what amendment you're saying?
I'm sorry, we're looking at the, we are right now dealing with the dash 10s and the dash 13s.
I don't have dash 13s.
Do you have dash 13s?
No.
They on your desk. They were.
Is this given out today?
Yeah.
Oh,
so the dash 10s, if we were to take out that limitation of the date January 2002, those would be just as we heard them last time, except instead of being limited to particular properties that apply within this window of time, it would be an ongoing.
Mr. Chairman, so you're saying put the period after January 1, 2001?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the dash.
On the dash 10s, yeah, then we'll forget about the dash 13.
That makes the program ongoing, in essence.
And it's not specific to any property owner. It will work to whoever qualifies. All right, it'll be on my head. The chair will move the conceptual amendment to the dash 10 amendments. If you'll follow me here on page 2, and that will be to
policy.
Delete the comma following January 1, 2001, and then also delete the words and before January 1, 2002, so you will have a period immediately following the date January 1, 2001 on line 10. Okay? All right, the chair would move that conceptual amendment to the dash 10 amendments. Is there any discussion, any objection? Just so ordered, the chair would move the dash 10 amendments then as conceptually amended into House Bill 2270. Is there any discussion on those amendments as conceptually amended, leaving open that date after January 1, 2001? Any objection? All right. Takes care of the dash 10 amendments therein. That leaves us, I think, then with just dash the 14. Dash 14.
I think, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think I had those drafted as just something to consider. I'm not. This would just be a way of us thinking about whether we want to expand these sort of purposes bill to residential properties. It's just something the committee can think about. I'm not bringing it forward.
Okay.
Unless someone presented as an opportunity, someone wanted to advocate for it.
Anybody want to advocate for the dash 14s? All right. Before we move, then I'll recapitulate here in just a second. But I also have Heidi Henry and Douglas Ebner. You want to come forward, and we'll hear from you here when we finish up.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Heidi Henry with the Oregon Downtown Development Association. We work around the state with a number of downtowns. and just recently got back from Eastern Oregon, so this is an important issue for us. I speak not from a technical area or paradigm, but actually from a more emotional one. In 1845, my father's family came up the Oregon Trail from New York over the plains and through Baker City. They followed the trail of rutted wagon roads over the last bits of sagebrush and dust and down the Columbia Gorge and finally settled in the Alsea area near Corvallis. Along the way, my great-great-grandmother Lucinda buried her husband and her infant son in a grave that's unmarked, in graves unmarked near the Idaho and Oregon border. Most recently, I just finished a book about the Battle of Iwo Jima in the Pacific Theater during World War II. The book is by the son of one of the soldiers portrayed in the most famous war photograph of all time, the Marine flag raising on Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima. Of the six men in the photo, only three came back, reflecting in general the statistics of lives lost on the American side during that horrendous fight. The book reflects the lives of these six 19- and 20-year-old men, their cultural heritage from Native American to Czech immigrant, to small Midwestern rural community members. And all of the boys on their last leave home before shipping out to what most of them thought would be their certain deaths told their parents, their families, their friends, and their relatives that they thought, or that they were willingly going to die, and that they were going willingly and patriotically. In the words of Sergeant Mike Strank, the Czech immigrant whose parents passed through Ellis Island, destitute and desperate, "I have to go. I have to get these boys back if I can to their mamas and their homes." If we as Americans and Oregonians are willing to give up the best of our children to fight and die for this nation made up of mostly small towns and rural outposts we call home, then I would say preservation is not just an act of decency, but a mandate for identity, and the belief that our built history captures the reminder of our forebears' struggles and our forebears' dreams. When I was in Elgin, Oregon a week ago, I went to a variety show put on at the nearly 100-year-old Elgin Opera House. It was packed with 180 area and community members who laughed their heads off at a Methodist minister who was a part-time rodeo clown who spent 2 hours doing impersonations of Red Skelton. It was an amazing experience made possible by a building that had been able to somewhat stabilize itself under the Oregon Special Assessment Program. But much of our historic stock is crumbling. In Bush's inauguration speech just this January, he said, "I will live and lead by these principles, to advance my convictions with civility, to pursue public interest with courage, to speak for greater justice and compassion, to call for responsibility and try to live it as well. In all of these ways, I will bring the values of our history to the care of our times." Please help us keep these tools that value our sense of history and our sense of identity. Please support the reauthorization of Oregon's Special Assessment Program and its proposed amendments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Henry. Any questions? All right, Mr. Ebner.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Doug Ebner. I'm the Marion County Assessor, and I also sit on the ARC Committee for reviewing applications. I'm here today kind of wearing two hats. One is County Assessor because I look at the property tax system we have today, how it works, and how it differs from what we used to have. Under good public policy in the past, if we created an exemption for a property or some special assessment program, we shifted the tax burden to other properties within the county or within the state as a good program for the state of Oregon. Under Measure 50, the whole process changed. And instead of shifting it now, we actually have a loss in a taxing district. In Marion County, on the last election, we had 14 or 15 different levies out there in front of voters to vote on, and only one of those passed. Fire districts, school districts, etc. Levies failed, as seems to be the public perception today. So as I look at this program and other kind of exemptions, special assessment programs, I look at who should be funding them. If this is in the best interest of Oregon, then shouldn't Oregon be funding it rather than school districts, fire departments, etc.? So I think we need to take a look at the whole system in whole and say, how should it be done? It's no longer a shift in property tax. As the chairman of the ARC committee, I'm very concerned about preserving our historical properties. I live in one of those old 110-year-old farmhouses that I love, and it's where I grew up, and we'll preserve that. But the property tax system today, when you apply for this 15-year exemption for residential property, is very, very minimal, looking at Measure 50 and a 3% raise. Within the committee, when we worked on that process, we put in a tax credit and a revolving loan fund in the purpose to give it something that would help it more. I believe in the tax credit. I look at Eastern Oregon and those small communities over there. I look at Baker City and some of them that don't have the financial means. A tax credit could be a real incentive to preserve some of those properties. When you look at a property tax credit, it ends up being so minimal. I look at my own house. I would probably save over 15 years, $800-$900 on property tax because of this program, which doesn't even come close to looking at any of the cost of what it would cost to rehabilitate it. But a tax credit would really do some good. So I wear two hats, and it's tough to look at the taxing districts who are struggling, the school districts and fire departments and local government, and giving up any kind of a special assessment program. And I also look at preserving our heritage, and I think that's very, very important. So I'd hate to see this committee let go of the tax credit. I think that's where we're going to have to go in the end, because the property tax system just can't afford to do it. I know the governor is perhaps against the tax credit because he can't afford that, but I'm not sure the other districts can either.
Thank you very much. Representative Beck, sounds like he's testifying for your dash item.
I think so. I've heard that.
Any questions for Mr. Abner?
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. We're in work session, and we have the bill in front of us as amended. The chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, is it preliminary? I just want to know if you move the bill, or are you required to carry it?
No, I was looking. This is.
I'll move the bill.
The last one was Representative Butler's, and we let him carry this one. I see this is filed for request of the governor. We get to ask the governor to carry this.
I think Representative Beck spent a lot of time thinking about this bill, Mr. Chairman. It seemed reasonable to me.
Now, this is, I suppose, one of those big bucks bills. I'll carry this one if there's nobody else on the committee that raises their hand and says they want it.
Oh, you did?
No. Oh, okay. So with that preliminary inquiry.
Mr. Chairman, I would move
okay.
House Bill 2270 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Williams moves House Bill 2270 as amended. And let me just recap. Yeah, it is recap.
Not recapitulate.
Yeah, it is recapitulate.
So that means to give up twice.
No. Maybe we have a dictionary. Joan, you're on, can you get online? Online dictionary. I think recapitulate.
Too late to ask questions, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. What do you? No, I was just going to restate the motion to move the bill as amended. And then I was going to restate the amendments that are in. But do you have a?
Well, I mean, this is a complex bill, and you may not have noticed, but it is for me. And going back through the dash five amendment, I'm going to make sure I understand the dash five amendment.
They're not going in.
They're out now.
Mm-hmm. Let me do that. So we are all on board.
Yeah,
the amendments that are in are the dash one amendments. That's the year-round open house requirement. The dash two amendments from the Parks and Revenue Department. Whatever.
State
Parks and the Revenue Department. The dash six amendments are in from the clerks. The dash 10 amendments are in with the conceptual amendment deleting the cutoff date of January 1, 2002. And the dash 12 amendments are in changing that date from 2002 to 2001, and we changed the word requires to permits in that. Those are the only amendments that are in the bill. Again, the 1, 2, 6, 10 with conceptual amendments, and 12 with conceptual amendments. Okay? Is there further discussion?
Chair?
Yes, Representative Beck?
Since a lot of these properties are in my district, I excited to take an interest, and I do appreciate the committee's indulgence for letting me wade through some of this, and I've, my thinking has evolved over the last couple of weeks, and I think I still believe this is a good program. I do think that some of the comments we just heard about whether the property tax system is the best way to incent this kind of activity, I think those are good comments, and whether we address it this legislative session or at another time, I think it, as the full effects of Measure 50 make their imprint on our state, I think this is one program where an alternative approach might make more sense. I think it's a good program, though, and I think these are all modest changes to what's already a good program, and I support.
Thank you. Any further comments? Please call the roll.
Representative Fay.
Aye.
Staff.
Aye.
Brown.
Confused.
Aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Rhett.
No.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Kathori.
Aye.
Chair Shatterly.
Aye. House Bill 2270 goes to the floor as amended with a do pass recommendation. I know Representative Witt won't want to carry. Is there anybody else that has a strong enough interest in this to carry? Otherwise, I will by default. So, okay, default. Close the public work session on House Bill 2270. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that we reopen the work session on House Bill 2554 to allow our absent members to vote. Who was that? Carlson, Kafori, and Williams, is that right? Okay. Is there any objection? Then we are back in work session on House Bill 2554. Joan, do you want to pick up their votes?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. That concludes the work session on House Bill 2554. And thank you. Good work. Tough nut.
I probably thought we'd
We are adjourned. Yeah.